This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
We do have breaking news tonight. It's not necessarily new, but it's more information to a news story that people have been talking about all day. Deshaun Watson unhappy in Houston. Adam Schefter on ESPN.com writes, by hiring former New England Patriots executive Nick Caserio to solve a large set, set off a large set of problems within the organization, the Houston Texans have created additional ones with star quarterback Deshaun Watson. Watson offered his input on potential general manager candidates, but the Houston Texans neither considered nor consulted with those endorsed by the franchise quarterback, league sources tell ESPN. Additionally, the Texans did not inform Watson that they intended to hire Caserio, and he found out about it, the hire, on social media. That contributed to Watson taking Twitter the other night and posting, quote, "Some things never change." And so Watson's feelings are not directed at Caserio, the sources tell ESPN and Adam Schefter, but it's because of the way the Texans have conducted their business. So Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, on a bad Texans team in a bad Texans organization, unhappy. How much power does this quarterback have? Can he force his way out of Houston? And if he can, who are the teams that are going to line up to try their hand, to try and lure Deshaun Watson in a trade to their team? Two teams that I immediately think of when I think of this, Adam, is the Indianapolis Colts do not have a quarterback for the future. And they are a team that will play in the playoffs this weekend. The San Francisco 49ers are a team that got to the Super Bowl last year. They lose in the Super Bowl. They miss the playoffs this year. They don't seem happy with Jimmy Garoppolo, and their quarterback room is kind of unsettled at the moment. So going forward, do you watch the 49ers? Do you watch the Colts? A building team that has a lot of draft capital that almost made the playoffs this year, the Miami Dolphins, have a young quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. They also have the Texans pick at number 3 in the first round. Is there something there that maybe Miami looks around and says, hey, you want to swap back your picks? You want to take Tua and we'll go after Deshaun Watson? Who are the suitors that are out there, and could the Chicago Bears be in play if Deshaun Watson actually becomes available from the Houston Texans?
Well, I look at it this way, right? If you're going to do this, it has to be completed before this year's draft, right? So let's just look at the top teams in this draft. Does Jacksonville trade their first overall pick for the sure thing? I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence isn't a sure thing. That's not what I'm saying.
It's the surest of sure things that you could possibly have in the NFL draft.
But you could have a known sure thing, and you have the number one overall pick this year.
I would, without questioning it, I would take Watson.
Over Trevor Lawrence?
100%.
Because you know what you're getting.
I think it's hard to suggest that Trevor Lawrence will be better than Deshaun Watson will be in his prime. Okay. I think Deshaun Watson is that good.
Okay. I don't disagree with you. I'm looking at the teams at the top of the draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Yep. They have number one overall pick. The Jets. Do they trade Darnold and the number two pick?
Right.
And a bunch of other picks, obviously. So that way the Texans would have the number two. They'd have their quarterback, maybe, if they like him. They'd have the number two overall pick, so they could shore up their offensive line. They could take the offensive tackle out of Oregon, as the Jets are slated to do, so that would be their pick then. So they could protect Sam Darnold, as the Jets are wont to do by all these mock drafts. And then you trade in some other picks, and then you just swap quarterbacks, essentially. The Dolphins, mentioned.
The Jets are interesting. If you're the Jets, how do you not try and make that move? Give up the picks. You trade Darnold. Say, hey, have a young quarterback, Texans. You guys figure it out from here. He's not our problem anymore. And then New York, the Jets, they get their star quarterback.
I'm trying to see how many picks they have this year, the Jets.
I mean, because, and then also you could swing it in an idea of, okay, that new head coach, Eric Bieniemy, whoever it is, who gets hired by the Jets, Deshaun Watson will know ahead of time, because this stuff you'll find out, back channel stuff.
So the Jets have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds this year.
Ooh.
So you could trade all 5 of those picks.
It's interesting.
Trade all 5 of those picks, Sam Darnold.
Boom.
And get Deshaun Watson and maybe a first round pick next year.
Ooh, I know what Greeny's going to talk about tomorrow on the show.
His soup?
No, not his soup. Oh, even though his conversation about his soup the other day was awesome.
It was great.
The fact that he's talking about how he brings home his soup just so he doesn't eat his soup.
No, like, he brought home his soup for his wife.
I might not eat it.
He brought his soup home for his wife.
That's all I heard.
And his wife didn't eat the soup. So then he ate the soup.
But then he was like, I'm going to bring home the soup, and I'm not going to eat the soup. It was awesome.
Okay, so then we go to the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
The Dolphins have Houston's pick. They have their quarterback. Would you trade Tua to Houston to get Watson to Houston? You already have a decent team, so you could make that work. They have a ton of picks this year.
I'm not a capologist or a draftologist or any of this, but are you allowed to trade back a pick that was
it's your
traded?
Pick. It's your pick.
Is that that's cool?
Here,
that's
give me something? Your pen. Give me your pen.
No, don't Wolf of Wall Street me. This
give me
is
your
my pen.
Pen. I'm not selling you the pen.
No,
if you trade me the pen. If you trade me the pen. Give me your bottle of water.
No. It's my water.
Give me
COVID
something.
COVID times. You're not touching my stuff.
Theoretically, give me the pen.
Next team.
Theoretically, give
Next
me the
team.
Pen. It's my pen now.
No, it's not.
And if tomorrow I go, do you want this pen back? And you go, yeah, I'll trade you back this pen. And then it's your pen. It's your pen again.
I'm the captain now.
I am the captain now.
Next team.
The Falcons.
Again, interesting, because you have a quarterback.
You have a quarterback
who has value.
He has value, and he only has 1 year left on his deal. So if you're the Texans, you could go. You could have the 4th overall pick. You could maybe even select another quarterback if you wanted to. So you don't even need to trade for Matt Ryan. You could just leave Matt Ryan with the Falcons, trade Deshaun Watson. But I don't think the Falcons would want Watson and Matt Ryan on the same team. So you'd probably put Matt Ryan into that deal. I don't know how much money he's got left on his last deal, but the contract allows for an out after 2022. So you could have him on your roster. You could build around him, and then you could either draft a quarterback with the 4th overall pick, or you could draft an offensive lineman. You could do whatever you want to. All right, so that's the case for the
next team.
The Bengals aren't doing it. They've got Joe Burrow. They're not doing it.
No.
The Eagles.
That's the first team that we're like, nah, that's not going
to
work.
Well, because that to me is the first team where you're actually like, they're not definite.
Yeah.
I can 100, because the Jets, I could even see, I could see taking a quarterback if they wanted to. The Bengals are the first team where you're like, they are definitely not selecting a quarterback in their draft position right now. So then we go to the Eagles. I would say the Eagles are most likely definitely not going to take a quarterback. So you're not trading, because you've got Jalen Hurts, who might be your starter. You've got Wentz and his albatross of a contract, who you might keep around. So the Eagles aren't doing it. The Lions. The Lions could trade Matt Stafford and some draft capital.
Plus, they're going to have a new coach.
They're a new coach.
He's from Texas.
The Lions. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Matthew Stafford's from Texas. Yeah.
The Lions could do it.
Okay, and the Lions are interesting.
Mm-hmm. The Panthers, nah, I don't know. I guess they could. I don't know. I don't know what the Panthers are doing. They've got them taking Kyle Pitts. McShay's got them taking Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers have a quarterback. They have Bridgewater. They also have a new head coach.
So why couldn't you but you could trade Bridgewater.
Yeah. Oh, of course you could. I don't think that would be desirable to get back, though. If you're giving up Deshaun Watson, and what pick is that for the Panthers?
Eighth.
I don't know.
I'm going through top 10
I feel
here.
Like you got to get you would have to give so much more than just that pick and everything, and you know, a quarterback, like that's not going to get it done.
The Broncos, does new GM Peyton Manning come in and swing for the fences?
Where do you have the Cowboys on that
10th.
On that
They're list? Picking 10th. They're picking 10th.
What about Jerry? Jerry's a little wild, isn't he?
Jerry's wild, but
he doesn't have a quarterback set for the future. They could franchise tag Dak, but listen, he just got hurt.
You could trade him.
You could trade him. You could also just let him walk because you know you have a quarterback.
Yeah, but you're more likely. Can you trade a franchise tag player?
I don't know, I'm saying they could just not tender him.
But if you want to trade him.
Yeah, you could sign him and then trade
him. It's more valuable in the trade to sign him and then trade him.
Yeah,
because then the Texans have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because if I'm Caserio, I want a quarterback at least for a couple years.
And where are the 49ers drafting?
12th.
What about the Las Vegas Raiders?
The Raiders.
So that's 17. Another team.
17.
Yeah, it's not going to be high enough.
It's not high enough. That's why I went top 10. I think this is a top 10. Maybe if the 49ers could trade with another team and then trade with the Texans to get up into the top 10. But to me, this is a top 10 teams only selection. I don't think the Bears are in this.
Well, it's tough to see the Bears being in it because they're kind of stuck. They don't really have the draft capital that's desirable. They also don't really have, like, the players. Like, okay, so, you know, we've had a couple of people tweet us, all right, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith.
That's not going to work.
And a bushel of draft picks. Send them to Houston. I don't know if that's going to get it done.
I have two eyes, Chris.
Yeah, what do you got?
I have two eyes.
Yep.
I'm going to keep one eye on the Jets.
Okay.
I'm going to keep one eye on the Falcons.
All right. And your third eye?
And I'm going to keep my third eye open.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep it on the Dolphins.
All right. I think we stumbled onto something here with the Dolphins.
Dude, I'm telling you, don't count out the Jags. They have the number one overall pick. They have the most valuable commodity in the draft.
And the reason we're talking about this, Adam Schefter on ESPN.com, a new article up right now, Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson bothered by teams hiring process, sources say in that tweet from the other night. Was about this hiring process, the tweet from Watson, some things never change. He was not included, even though he was told by ownership that he would be included on the GM and head coaching search. And they went and did their own thing anyway. We preview Wild Card Weekend coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You know how I feel gambling throughout the NFL season. When I see points like 10 plus points, nine and a half points, my eyes light up.
You grab them.
I love grab points.
You grab them.
Bears at Saints on Sunday.
Yeah, but it's the Bears.
The line is 10. Are these points I'm going to want to grab?
I don't know. I'm hoping it goes up. I'm hoping those are points that other people grab, and the line goes up, and I'm like, okay, now I'll grab those points.
It's something that I want to take a look at, and let's preview Wild Card Weekend with Joe Wiz. You can hear The Fine Line with Joe Wiz on ESPN 1000, Saturday nights at midnight, and also Sundays at 6 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Go to his website, joewizsports.com. You can also follow him on Instagram, joewizsports. Joe, as we look ahead to Bears and Saints this weekend, a lot of points there. Do you trust this Bears team to keep it close?
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you being on first time this year. When you take a look at this game here, you know, New Orleans is favored by 10, and I see a line slowly creeping up to as much as 10.5 in this game, and the total is at 47. And, you know, you take a look at the Bears last week. I mean, they played a competitive game against who I think is the best team in the NFL, the Green Bay Packers. The Bears were right there till halftime. They had a couple of crucial turnovers, and obviously the Bears are not on the same planet as the Packers are, but they did play competitively here. And the question here, Adam, is which team are we going to see here? The Bears that started at 5-1 or the team that lost 6 in a row? And, you know, before you throw the Bears under the bus, remember in that 6-game losing streak, they played all playoff teams. They played the Rams, they played the Saints, they played the Titans and the Packers. And, you know, I think that when you know, Bears, the way their offense is playing, take away last week, their last three wins, they were averaging 36 points per game. Saints, in general, over the years, have a history of performing poorly in the playoffs. I mean, if you go back to 1988, the Saints are just 6-14-1 against the spread in the playoffs. And I like the part that you mentioned, you like dogs, and you associate that with the NFL playoffs. I very rarely like double digits, and I'm certainly not going to do it in a playoff game. But I do expect this game to be a high-scoring affair. My inclination on this game would be more of a high-scoring game, more than taking the points.
No team has looked better towards the end of the season than the Buffalo Bills. They're a 6.5-point favorite. favorite. They won their last few games, not counting the loss where no one really played, but by a margin of 20 points or more, of 20 points per game, at 6.5 against the Colts. Is there value since it's under a touchdown?
Well, it's interesting. This line opened up at 7, and the public has been pounding Buffalo. You don't even know who Buffalo's playing the way the betting is going. Everyone's Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. Very few people are taking money on the Colts. They needed that Dolphin loss to get into the playoffs last week. And, you know, Frank Reich returns back to Buffalo. It goes back a long time. You have to go back 28 years ago when Frank Reich led the Bills to one of the miraculous comebacks in NFL playoff history. His team trailed 35-3 with 28 minutes left. They beat then the Houston Oilers 41-38. The strategy here for the Colts is to keep the ball away from Buffalo. Easier said than done. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is the key to the game here for the Colts. They need to give him the ball. Last week, he rushed for 253 yards against Jacksonville. Certainly not going to be able to get that done. Phillip Rivers is a veteran quarterback. He knows how to win. The total in this game is at 51.5. I think that the Buffalo offense is going to be contained here. The Colts' game plan is simply going to be to try and run the ball, keep the ball away from Josh Allen, and we know about the Buffalo Bills. They've outscored their last three opponents 142-54, so you can see why the public perception is all over Buffalo laying to 6.5. I think the total of this game at 51.5, if the Colts have a shot, it has to be a low-scoring affair. If it's a shootout, it would be lights out for the Colts.
Joe Wiz previewing Wild Card Weekend with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Go to Joe's website, joewizsports.com. Also, check out his Instagram page, Joe Wiz Sports. And Joe, when I look at the Buccaneers on the road against Washington, again, a lot of points on the line here, but Tampa should go in and handle their business against Washington. The one thing that I would look at, though, is Chase Young in that front four for the football team. They'll be able to try and get after Tom Brady. Do the Buccaneers cover in this game?
No, I think that the football team stays competitive in this game. Throw out last week's game. It's not the Washington football team's fault that they beat the Eagles last week because the Eagles laid down. I was happy with the Eagles' loss last week, but I had 6.5. I got the hook, and I wasn't complaining at all. And I'm in the New York area, and I was rooting for the Giants to get in the playoffs, but I still took the Eagles plus the 6.5. And you got to remember, going back, the last two teams to enter the wild cards with losing records, you have to go back to 2014. And ironically, Ron Rivera was the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. He won. In 2010, Seattle, post-Russell Wilson, they won outright also. Tampa has won 4 in a row, but look at the opposition they played. They played the Vikings, and the Vikings had chances. If they had a kicker, they might have won in Tampa. Then they played the Falcons. They struggled against the Falcons. They had a 17-point deficit in Atlanta. They had to come back and get a miracle win there. Then, of course, they played the lowly Lions, and, of course, they played the Falcons last week here. Washington has a very good defense, and you mentioned a point about Chase Young. He is the key to this game here. If Washington can get Alex Smith to play ever free and, of course, get him to stay in the game, I think that they're able to control the ball, and I think that they could stay within a touchdown this game. The line is at 8.5. I feel the line is a little high in this game here. If I'm playing a game, I'm taking the dog, the home dog, that is in this wild card round.
The Rams and the Seahawks have been under machines this year. This total is at 42. Is this a game that's probably going to end, 14-10, maybe 14-7 or 7 or 14-13, something like that?
Well, that's what everyone's expecting. I mean, these two teams met just 2 weeks ago in Seattle. The Seahawks won the game 20-9. During a regular season, they met in L.A., and the score was 23-16. The big question mark in this game here, what is the status of Jared Goff? We really don't know. He's listed as questionable. But to me, when it sounds to me like somebody has surgery on their thumb and it's on their throwing hand, that's a major problem. Can John Wolford come out and perform the way he did last week against Arizona? Highly unlikely. I mean, for the Rams to get the win here, they're going to need a spectacular game from their defense, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. And the Seahawks, in the beginning of the season, everyone was talking about this high-powered Seahawk offense, but now it's turned around to their defense. It's their defense that's winning games for them here. The total's at 42.5. I think this game could be a competitive game. I think it goes down to the wire, and I think that the 3.5, this could be decided by a field goal. Once again, we call for the dog.
Go to Joe Wiz's website, joewizsports.com. Also, his Instagram page, Joe Wiz Sports. Joe Wiz, he hosts the Fine Line with Joe Wiz on ESPN 1000 Saturday at midnight and also Sunday, 6 a.m. You can get all the information right here on ESPN 1000. Talking with Black and Abdallah as we preview Wild Card Weekend. The Ravens on the road against the Titans. And Joe, these are two teams that run the football really well. Which team do you think will come out on top on Sunday?
Boy, you take a look at it here. The Baltimore Ravens have so much revenge involved in this game here. Last year, they got ambushed, big favorite. They lost the game last year. And Lamar Jackson, this is do or die for him. I mean, he's always – personally, I think Lamar Jackson's overrated. I mean, we know he could run the ball. He's only one of the few quarterbacks that had multiple 1,000-yard rushing yards. But, I mean, in the playoffs, and if you go back to his playing days at Louisville, Lamar Jackson in big games is 0-4. And, you know – right now, if you look at it here, the Titans are a dangerous home team. They're getting 3, 3.5. I mean, Tannehill is a great quarterback. He has great receivers in A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. And they beat the Titans already this year, 30-24, and they beat them in the playoffs last year. Can anybody tell me why the Ravens are favored in this game? I don't think so. I think that the Tennessee Titans getting 3.5, you're getting value, you're getting a home dog. Until Lamar Jackson beats me in a playoff game, I'm taking the other way.
The Browns and the Steelers are the last game of the weekend. Is the COVID restrictions and what the Browns have had to deal with all the positive tests going to be too much for them to overcome against the Steelers?
Oh, this is really good. That's a very good question here. I mean, last week, obviously, you throw that out the window. I mean, the Steelers are favored by 6, and the Steelers are a team that you have to figure out. They started out 11-0. I felt they were overrated all season long. They had a very favorable schedule. Then they lost 3 in a row, including that embarrassing loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you take a look at the Steelers. Even though they rested all their starters, they've lost 4 of the last 5 games. The only game they won is against the Colts, and they had to come from behind 21-7 in that game. And the Steelers haven't won a playoff game in 4 years. And the last time they were in the playoffs, they faced Jacksonville with Blake Bortles, and they lost that game. So here again, we have the Steelers minus 6. The total game is at 47.5. We know the history of the Steelers. We know how they've dominated the Browns, including October 18th when they won 38-7. Despite all the COVID restrictions, I think that the majority of the players of Cleveland are going to be playing. Head coach without him, I think that Baker Mayfield could come in here. I think he could keep the Browns competitive in this game here, and I would take the points in this game here. I just don't trust the Steelers. I think they're still overrated, even though, like I said, you got Big Ben. His best days are behind him. If I'm playing this game, I'm taking Cleveland plus the 6.
Joe, when we look ahead to Monday night, the national championship game in college football, do you have a lean for Alabama and Ohio State?
Yeah. Play the over. The total 75. Don't be afraid. Alabama's averaging 50 points per game. Ohio State looked like nobody could beat them last week. I loved Ohio State last week against Clemson. It just Dabo just gave them too much bulletin material. And, you know, who could stop Justin Fields right now? 6 touchdown passes versus Clemson. Sermon is all over the place. He rushed for almost 200 yards against Clemson. Bama's defense is suspect. I don't know if there's going to be a punt in this game. 75 seems high, but when it's 35-30 at halftime, you'll be like, thank God I played the over.
Joe, if our listeners go to joewizsports.com, what will they find there? What can you help them out with?
Well, my website gives you a lot of information. I made the biggest legal bet in the state of New Jersey 2 years ago at William Hill Sportsbook at Monmouth in New Jersey. I set the state record there. My winning video is on the site, joewizsports.com. And, of course, they can also follow me on Instagram. I always tell people, if you want to ask me a question, if you have any game, whether it's basketball or football, they just go to Instagram, follow me, joewizsports. You send me a DM, and I send you a winner. And, of course, I'm really pumped up to be on Saturday night at midnight. We're going to break down every single game. Plus, we're going to have some basketball. And, of course, on Sunday, I'll be back on at 6 a.m. with the Fine Line to give everybody winning predictions. Guys, I'm really pumped up, and I'm really rooting for your hometown Bears, even though I'm in New Jersey here. We're rooting for those Bears there. Trubisky, this is do or die for them. Trubisky, this is it. He plays competitive enough in this game here. He's getting a big contract.
Oh, no, hopefully not here, though.
If he plays poorly, that'll drain. But I'm telling you, there's a lot at stake here for Trubisky. If he plays a big game, there will be a contract renewal in Chicago, even though I know a lot of the guys in Chicago don't like it.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it. We'll be listening to the Fine Line with Joe Wiz this weekend on ESPN 1000. And also, we'll talk to you next Thursday at 7:15, okay?
Thank you very much. Go Bears!
There's Joe Wiz, the Fine Line with Joe Wiz on ESPN 1000. You can hear it Saturday at midnight and also Sunday at 6 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Go to his website, joewizsports.com, and check out his Instagram page, Joe Wiz Sports. So check it all out. Joe Wiz getting us ready for Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. I want to talk Bulls with you coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
What was the conversation we were having about Zach LaVine yesterday?
You take the good, you take the bad, and then the facts of life.
Well, that's not what the conversation was.
That's my conversation about it. That's what
the conversation was. This: you can't start having the conversation about him being a star until he starts winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's win games first before we ask, is Zach LaVine a superstar?
We went into yesterday saying he is a good player. If he plays like that and does hit clutch shots late, then you can win with him. And then he missed a clutch shot late in a game, and they lost a back-to-back. They were a 7-point dog. They lost on the second night of a back-to-back on a West Coast road trip. You told me the Kings were trash, but whatever. I mean, whatever. But yeah, you're right. You have to. You live and die by Zach LaVine, and you can't always do that.
Yeah, and it's like that 3-point shot that he missed. One of the final possessions of the game that was a bad shot as he came down the left side of the court. And he, like, the thing that was, I wasn't as bothered by the shot being taken on the shot clock so early on the shot clock. I was more bothered at the fact that he, like, hesitated. Like, that wasn't the first thing he was going to do. You know, he like, gathered.
Yeah.
And he, like, stopped. And then he realized, well, there's not really a move here, so I might as well just fire it off.
Yeah.
He missed it and clanked it. Like, I would have rather, like, if you didn't feel like, that's the thing. You can tell with really good basketball play, like, it's a lot of it is feel, right? And the mm-hmm. rhythm and being able to just step into a shot, be able to step back and have that feel when you fire off that shot. And it looked like he was uncomfortable shooting that shot. And the decision there would have been, all right, if you went to go make your move and that big comes out at you and you, like, hesitate for mm-hmm. a second and you weren't intentionally hesitating to try and draw the defender off, like, mm-hmm. it was an awkward defensive closeout into him then saying, okay, now I'll fire the shot. Just hold it and pass it off and, like, get something better there. That's where, you know, the conversation's like, okay, we can look forward and say, all right, 32 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 36 minutes. The Bulls are right there into the end against the Kings team that at the end of the game, they were hitting all their 3-point shots. I think they were, what, 6 of 13 from 3 in the fourth quarter? And it just seemed like the defense was a step slow every single possession down the stretch on the perimeter. And then also, when Zach LaVine takes a bad shot like that, that gets back to the conversation, was that a winning play? And I just want him to start winning before we start worrying about him being a star.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the fact that they competed and the fact that they're like, everybody's going with the difference in how they look. And I think that's something to, before we dissect each individual player, like, yes, you can dissect Zach LaVine all you want to. He's a veteran. He's a veteran on this team. He's been around. We kind of know who he is at this point as a player. You can dissect him. But as far as the other guys on the team, I'm still looking at the way this offense feels. I'm still looking at the way this flows. I'm still looking at the different lineups that Billy Donovan is putting out there. I'm not making judgments on, oh, well, they should have done this in this game and they should have done this in this game until I have a full complement of games at the season. Like, this is a new coaching staff. This is a few new players. This is essentially we've got all new players because I want to see how this offense and how they all look with a different coach. You've got a completely different system. So until then, I'm still going to look at this game as a whole. And yeah, it was a bad shot. It was a poorly timed bad shot. And should he have taken it? Probably not. Should he have taken it later in the shot clock? Probably. But the fact that they were in the position to make that shot and to be in the game to put that shot in makes me believe more in this team.
Here's Billy Donovan after the game talking about LaVine's shot selection towards the end of the game.
He made a heck of a shot last night, and I thought when he can get off a clean look, for him it's always a good shot. You know, I want to go and look back at the tape there. I know Wendell kind of set a quick screen, for him, and he rolled. I didn't have a great angle to see, you know, where Wendell was at in relationship to his defender. But he got a clean look off. You know, I didn't want to call timeout and let them set their defense. And we got kind of him on the run, and he got a little bit of space. And I actually think the shot that he took last night, the one he made last night, was maybe tougher for him than the one there, you know, than tonight was. But, you know, I feel good when he gets a clean look like that, and he's generally really good at shooting the ball.
So that's Billy Donovan last night. And, you know, I'm not bothered by the shot itself. I just wish it would have been in the flow, because I think Donovan's right there. If you have that open three-point shot and you're in the flow of it,
take it.
Take that shot, because you are a good three-point shooter. You're one of our best shooters on the team, and that's where you are able to use your athletic ability to not only take a screen from Carter and get that one step in that separation, but you are able to rise and fire from that location. All right, so that's the negative side of it when you look at the Bulls losing to the Kings last night, 128-124. On the positive, though, his counterpart in the backcourt. 40 minutes for Coby White. He went 15 of 23 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. He had 36 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, no turnovers. Here's what I love about Coby White. It's something that we saw last year, but he didn't get the reps and he didn't get the ability to be on the floor in crunch minutes and in big spots. This guy can score. Mm-hmm. And it's not only, like, remember back to last year, there would be some conversations, can he be a true point guard, can he do this, all this other stuff. And my response would always be, he can score the basketball, and you can tell he can score already on almost anyone who defends him. And that's a skill that there are very few players in the NBA hold and possess, that skill with such fluid movement and his ability to cross over, step back. Like, there was a move in the lane where not only did he cross a guy, he then did a little step back and immediately fired off one leg. That's stuff that, you know, people are mimicking Dirk to try and figure out, or James Harden, or Luka Doncic. And I'm not comparing Kobe to those players. I'm just saying he has a fluid offensive game that he's going to be able to score a lot of points in this league. And we're all trying to figure out who's going to be the star of this team. I think that's the guy that's going to be the star. It's going to be him and Patrick Williams, who are eventually going to figure out being the stars of this team.
Yeah, look, it's a, I think you saw it at points last year, like you mentioned, when he wasn't getting opportunities, but also his confidence wasn't really there for him to go at guys, you know, and that also comes with coaching, you know, Billy Donovan instilling confidence in him and saying, go at dudes, like, you can score, go at dudes. And so if he can go at these guys and he can continue to score, that's great. My concern with him is having LaVine and White out there in defensive situations is going to be an insane liability. Like, these dudes cannot defend to save their lives. You know, and Otto Porter's out there trying to do his thing, but he can only do so much. You know, he hasn't really shown to be the defender this season so far that you'd hoped he'd be for this team, because the other guys are just giving up so many open looks. They're giving up, you know, like, it doesn't even look like White and LaVine are trying to play defense at this point. And hopefully that comes with coaching. But to me, yes, they're going to have to put up 36 last night for White, 32 for LaVine. They're going to have to do that if you're going to be giving up 100 plus a night.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that I would add to that is the defensive side of it, having the veterans out there to help those two guards who are not very good defensively. But they've been playing really good defense. And I think that's where last night it seemed to be a little disappointing to me. I know that you said that you're not going to watch these games and be critical on trying to figure out if they can win or lose. You're just trying to watch them grow. But, you know, the defense against Portland on the perimeter was much better than it was against the Kings. Portland has much better players on the perimeter, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Yet Halliburton was getting open, and, you know, Barnes got open for a three. There were guys that were open all over the place, hitting 3-point shots. The other thing with Coby White that I think is very interesting, last year he would use his dribble and his ability to beat guys off the dribble to get to the rim. And you said it, confidence. He seemed to be a little fragile around the rim and not able to make a bucket, or unless he has the right specific layup, he didn't go down.
Yeah.
This year, he's getting within 5 feet and in the air, and he knows exactly if he's going to go underneath, if he's going to go around the basket, he's going to lay it off the glass here, he's going to pop it. You know, like, he has all those little moves around the basket already down. I think that's also pretty impressive too.
Can you give me the?
Well, which one?
I've got
all kinds of different sounds
change,
that I'm looking
change
at.
The
like,
subject. No.
Are we gonna try and investigate something?
No,
because
no, no.
I think there's an investigation. What do you want? What type
I just
of?
Need
you just
a,
want
I,
a different.
I have my third eye open.
Okay.
If
you
I was using
else?
Eye emojis.
You want something else?
Okay. If I was using eye emojis, I would use eye emojis.
Because I think we might have to go on an investigation coming up here.
I don't have an investigation. All I know is that Alvin Kamara has tweeted.
Oh.
And they're playing the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara is in the COVID protocols. He tested positive.
Yep.
He tweeted, "See y'all Sunday." Heart
oh, okay.
emoji.
Okay.
He's
well,
playing. That's not investigative.
I've got something else for you.
Oh, we're investigating?
We might have to investigate something. We don't have a lot of time in tonight's show left.
Because guess what? It's the first Thursday of the year that we're back on.
I know.
Good question.
Yeah. Well, I might have to wait.
What? What are we investigating?
We have to figure something out. We have an investigation. There's a big news story tonight with Deshaun Watson. He wants out from Houston. We might have to investigate something on the internet coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Also, download the ESPN Chicago app. If you do not have it on your smartphone, your iPhone, your Android device, download it from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store today. ESPN Chicago app. You open it, it plays ESPN 1000. You can also find all of our podcasts right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Thank you to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. We'll be back tomorrow. 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and also at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie. We had so much stuff that we didn't get to tonight because we have news. We didn't get a chance to talk about Francisco Lindor being traded to the New York Mets.
Baseball.
How that relates to the Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. We didn't get to that. We have all this wild card weekend preview stuff that we didn't get to because we have news about Deshaun Watson.
Yo.
Now, here's...
I have more news, too. This is crazy.
You have more?
All right. I think we have the same amount.
Okay, so here's the deal. News tonight on ESPN.com, Adam Schefter, Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, bothered by the team's hiring process, sources say. He has a column up. So there's a lot of chatter out there online about Deshaun Watson, the fact that he was told that the organization would talk to him and consult him on who they were going to hire as a GM and a head coach. They didn't do that for the GM hiring of Nick Caserio. So Deshaun Watson tweeted out, "Some things never change." That tweet is in response to the way the Texans are handling their business. Deshaun Watson, there are also reports out there that Deshaun Watson has, the Texans have tried to contact Deshaun Watson, and he has been unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
Those are reports coming out of Houston. So this is online. This is all over tonight that Deshaun Watson is unhappy in Houston. And I think we have to go on an investigation here because there is more news coming out tonight. A shout out to Salim and to Will Chase for both tweeting us, tweeting the show. We got our eyes out there on the internet. We got people out there.
People
shout out to
everywhere.
The Twitch chat as well.
We got people everywhere.
ESPN 1000 Chicago. We
appreciate
see you guys.
Y'all. Appreciate y'all.
We read the comments.
Appreciate y'all. We out here.
Throughout the show, we see them all.
Yeah.
So here's what we need to do, because this is interesting. Do you want to go? You said you have more news.
So the news is that Deshaun Watson, if you keep an eye out, Mike Jansen, weatherman for WGN TV. Yep. He's the WGN TV weekend meteorologist, Saluki football fan.
Yep.
Has tweeted that he just got a notification that Deshaun Watson followed him on Twitter. It says, "I just got a notification from Twitter. Does this prove Deshaun Watson wants to be traded to the Bears?
Uh-huh.
Why else would he suddenly decide to follow a Chicago weatherman?"
Yep.
Right? So I go to Deshaun Watson's Twitter page.
Yep.
I look at his following. And not only has he followed Mike Jansen. He's also followed Paul Conrad, the other weatherman for WGN. Now, he's following not one, but two weather people from WGN. He also, if you do a little bit of scrolling, Chris, one Charles Peanut Tillman.
And that was a recent follow.
Is it? Can you tell? Can you see when they followed him? I don't think you can.
Well, don't they go in the order of
they go
who
in the
he's
order.
Following?
Yeah, they go in the order. He could have done that a month ago, and he just hasn't followed anybody since.
Sure. But there's only, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
mm-hmm.
people in between Charles Tillman and two Chicago weathermen.
Mm-hmm. Now, I only follow one weather person. That's Tracy Butler of ABC7.
Shout out to Tracy Butler.
That's the only weather person I follow.
I'm a big fan of Tracy Butler.
Absolutely.
She's the best.
Absolutely.
Big time listener of Black and Abdallah.
Big time. But this is interesting.
Why is Watson following weathermen from this city?
Maybe he wants to get into meteorology.
Is he going to vacation here?
Who's vacationing here in the winter?
Well, that's why I'm asking. He wants to know the weather.
We don't have
Who
slopes?
Wants to know the weather of this city?
We don't have
someone
slopes?
That's going to be here.
We don't have any of that stuff.
This is fascinating. You know, I will say this. For a long time, we now have YouTube TV, so we don't get to watch it anymore. But for a long time, when we had cable, I enjoyed WGN television. And I enjoyed the morning news and seeing all the weather people. But I have YouTube TV now. So that was like the big conversation when we got YouTube TV. What are we going to do? We don't have WGN morning show.
Yeah.
That was from my wife. She was a big fan.
You guys doing okay?
Yeah, we got by. We're getting by. But this is interesting because Deshaun Watson, and this is real. I'm on Deshaun Watson's page, and if you go to following, he's following 757 people. The last two people he has followed, Mike Jansen, Paul Conrad from WGN Weather.
Hmm.
This is something we have to keep our eyes on.
Hmm.
This is fascinating.
Hmm.
Huh. So there was news tonight from Adam Schefter, but also Deshaun Watson, who cannot be contacted by the Texans, that's what the reports are saying, is out here following weather people in this city.
Interesting.
What does that mean?
Interesting.
All right. Good question. The 2021 season has begun.
We don't
have time for the intro for Good Question. But we do have this week's edition of Good Question. This is how we play. When someone here at the station asks a question to a guest, and the guest says good or great question, you score a point. We play every year. This is the first official Good Question for 2021. Week one, here we go.
As you know, defense has been a strength for Notre Dame all season long.
Jack Nolan, Notre Dame pregame, good enough
to at least slow down this Alabama offense?
A good question.
Oh, Brian, normally at this time of year, I would start by asking you how the team is practicing back from Christmas break.
Notre
because
Dame
of the necessary precautions during the current pandemic, there was no trip home. The guy stayed on campus until you headed down to Dallas on Wednesday night. So take me through what this team did from the time the playoff matchup was announced to today.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Oh. Mel, how about the Eagles? How significant is it
Brian
for them
Kelly
to move from
question.
The ninth pick to the sixth pick?
Jay Will.
That's a great question.
Are you, to this point, I don't believe any games have been canceled. Is it your expectation, as this does connect to the world of sports, that there may be a decision not to play any of these games tonight?
That's a great question, Tommy.
All right, so there it is. There's a good question. You also scored one tonight that didn't make the cut for the montage, but it gets
that's
in the points,
week.
And there it goes. So
it's six. The cutoff is 6 o'clock on Thursday.
Yes, and then we roll to the next week.
Yeah.
All right, we got to keep our eyes. Weatherman, he's following weather people. All right, here we go. Can we go after Deshaun Watson? All right, we'll try and figure it out.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.